So what I, my background is a 27 years as an ARS plant breeder, and I'm now in the Office of Tech Transfer. And so what I'm talking about now is USDA ARS policy. So this is policy. So it's not my opinion, but it is also my opinion, but it's actually ARS policy. So and it is sort of addresses some of the issues that Paul brought up. One is ARS has a long history of working with universities to develop enhanced germplasm and then working with the universities to actually get the finished cultivar. So we've done this since actually the first time we did this, hard to believe, was before there was a USDA. It was in 1859 when the Patent Office did the agricultural work. So the first sort of, you know, university development with this was started in 1859. And then when Abraham Lincoln started the land grant system assigned a plant breeder to every land grant university to set up this. So we've been doing this for 155 years, and it's worked really, really well. Except things have now changed a little bit, in that the reason we put things in the public domain, the goal of the USDA is to make sure that our research results a farmer will get and develop the cultivar and the consumer then can eat. So our goal is getting our research outcomes adopted. And up until recently, you know, publicly releases got everything adopted. But, you know, there's a challenge now with the universities and with the government, as you well know, in taxes. There isn't a lot of money anymore. So how do we do this? Public release is really good when the government paid for all of this. If the government's not paying for all of this, public releases may not be the most appropriate mechanism because the consumer won't get the variety and actually won't get the food and could starve to death. So we have to then look at different reasons to protect cultivars. So what we do in protecting cultivars, and our policy is not to generate income, okay? The reason we protect the cultivars is to allow our partners to be able to invest additional resources in to get those cultivars to the consumer, okay? So we don't protect to actually generate income. We protect to get our cultivars adopted and grown. So, you know, and so we said, so one of those things is broader distribution. You know, if we can get our new wheat, you know, our new corn variety grown in 10 states versus one state, that's really good for the consumer. Same thing, too, is sometimes the private sector is going to have to invest in, you know, certified seed, breeder seed. Breeder seed today costs a lot more to get than it did 25 years ago. Who's paying for that breeder seed? Got to figure that out. Okay, the other thing is genetic identity. Things are really complex right now if we look at genetic identity. If we have a disease-resistant gene and you have some genetic mishaps and some, you know, mishaps in collecting the seed and your variety is only about 90% pure and you got a disease gene for like Phytophthora, you know, not really a big disaster. Now, let's say we just had a new example. We have a soft, hard wheat. And now when we have 90% genetic purity, can't make bread out of that wheat. Okay, now you've got the bread industry suing us because our soft, hard wheat isn't soft enough to make bread. So sometimes we have to then look at some of these traits. Do we need to identify the genetic purity and maintain that so the consumer can actually get the variety? So there are a lot of reasons that we might need to protect the cultivar. But when we do some of this, one of the things we want to make sure, and this thing just doesn't hold, is our ultimate goal is all of our varieties must be freely available to everybody to breed, to create new varieties, even essentially derived. So we encourage that. So we encourage and promote free use of all of our enhanced germplasm to develop further varieties. So that's ARS sort of policy in general on tech transfer and the release of varieties.